I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What did you say?
I said, I still hate the name of that this podcast. Every single time, it just kills me a little bit more inside.
What do you want to change it to?
I was thinking about this a lot over the holidays.
Okay.
I'm over the help I suck at dating. I've had some time to reflect.
Because you feel like you're better at dating now? Has this served its purpose?
And I feel like this title just perpetually locks me into sucking at dating just through self-fulfilling prophecies.
So if you could call it anything, which I'm not even sure is possible with the podcast gods, but what would you call it?
I've been praying to the podcast gods every night, and that's all I asked for Christmas. I was thinking we're going to rebrand, and this is non-negotiable, to help dating sucks.
Dating sucks with Dean Ungler?
Yeah,
with help. Dating sucks with Dean Ungler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty easy Photoshop job on the logo. You know?
I've already talked to all the higher ups at iHeart. They're on board with it. I can just tell by Mark and Easton's eyes. They're on board with it. Thanks, guys, for that approval.
Well,
Amy's shaking her head no, but
they're going to have to email. I think everyone should email isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com with their ideas of what this show should be called now.
I love that. Okay, so if you're listening, and thank you for listening, tuning back into the 2018 episodes of Help, I Suck at Dating. If you have any new name suggestions, please email them to us. You'll get the email at the end of this podcast. Again, I think it should be Help Dating Sucks, because not only does it suck for me, it sucks for everyone that's doing it. So
we'd have to change the email address, because the email is isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
We can keep the email address. Okay. I'll give that one to Amy. We can keep the email address. just something to consider. You know, it's a new year. It's a new me. We're all going to suck a little bit less at dating. So why not do it together instead of focusing it all on me is kind of the thing.
But that's the idea. It's not you suck at dating. It's I suck at dating. The listeners suck. Everybody sucks at dating. That's the idea.
I know. But there's just something that goes along.
It's a universal I.
It's say I meet a girl, right?
Okay.
Say I go on a date and they're like, oh, what do you do? I was like, well, every, you know, once a week for a couple hours a week, I record a podcast. Oh my God, I love podcasts. What kind of podcast is it? Oh, it's a dating podcast. Uh-huh. I don't know. You know, I just, you know, give some advice, kind of give a 26-year-old perspective on the dating pool nowadays. Oh my God, I'd love to listen to it. What is it? Oh, it's called Help, I Suck at Dating. And then you get the side eye like,
and then she thinks like, oh, what's he going to do? Is he going to pick his nose? Like,
yeah.
What's going to happen? Is he going to cheat on me? Is he going to check out other girls, talk about his exes?
It's like that type of like tentativeness or reservation that goes along with being associated with the name like that. Ugh. But if it's Help Dating Sucks, then it's like, it's not just I that suck at, or me that sucks at dating. It's the collective group as a whole.
It's a brand. You feel like you've had this branded on you.
Yes. And I'm okay with being the sponge in a lot of ways.
Yes.
I'm okay being the guy that's like, I'll take the blame for sucking at dating. Like, we all suck, but let's just say that I suck the most. And then we can talk about it from there.
Let's talk about Winter Games.
Okay.
And here's my transition.
Great.
Going into Winter Games, you had to be nervous because of what happened in Paradise.
Sure.
You had to be nervous thinking, I can't, not that you messed up necessarily, but I can't do anything that's going to allow them to show me in a bad light on television. Did you go in feeling nervous like that?
Yes. Well, so for those listeners that are lesser informed, I did go on this new show, Bachelor Winter Games. It's the first season. We just got announced just recently. And what it is a show that'll air alongside the Winter Olympics that are happening in South Korea over February. I think it'll air two episodes for 2 weeks in February, where a lot of former cast members, not just from the USA, but all over the world, are going to be competing in winter sports with each other. And also, as Bachelor always loves to do, there will be a love component involved as well. And to Mark's point, he's absolutely right. There was a different feeling going into this one than there was Bachelor in Paradise, because going into Bachelor in Paradise, I was still kind of like an unknown in the sense where my season with Rachel was still airing. And a lot of the, I guess, cast members that were going into Paradise that were females, you know, they probably had heard about me through Rachel and seen maybe like an episode or two, but they didn't really know anything about me. And going into Bachelor Winter Games and seeing how kind of all the drama unfolded with Bachelor in Paradise, there was a bit of a stigma or a target on my back because of all of that kind of stuff.
I would think it would really freeze you on a reality show if you have to overthink everything you're saying and doing and the ways you're interacting with people.
It wasn't really that I was overthinking anything. It was just, I feel like for some reason, yes, I made a lot of mistakes in Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
But people took that and ran with it to the sense where, oh, he made a lot of dating mistakes. He's a horrible person. He's mm-hmm. a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to go into Bachelor Winter Games because I had some friends by my side, like a Ben or like an Ashley or an Eric or Josiah, who know me as a person and can vouch for my, I guess, character and not just the foibles that I've had in the dating realm, you know? So I can understand as a girl going into that and then Because the cast was kept entirely anonymous up until the day of the first day of filming. Mm. And I could see, as a girl going into that, seeing me for the first time and be like, oh, I don't want to date that guy. I saw exactly what he did in Bachelor in Paradise. Right. Like, he was kind of an asshole. And I absolutely was an asshole in Bachelor in Paradise. And I do deserve kind of a bit more hesitancy before jumping into a relationship or anything like that. So I don't want to say it was like a matter of like reproving myself or anything like that, but there were a lot of hurdles that had to be overcome because of that.
So you at first saw it as kind of redemption. This is your chance for redemption and to show people that you're not a bad guy.
It's not even a shot at redemption. It's just the appeal of Winter Games to me was obviously being able to compete in the winter sports, the ability to meet a lot of international cast members, because not only is it Americans and USA competing, but I think there was like 8 or 9 other countries that were going there as well.
China and Japan and Australia. It's quite
New
a list.
New Zealand, Sweden, mm-hmm. Switzerland, Germany, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get an opportunity like that to meet a lot of those people. So it was a great opportunity for that. And I guess it was just a great opportunity that I couldn't really say no to. And, you know, I was single, obviously, at the time when we left for filming and all that kind of stuff. And obviously the scars from my most recent relationship going into that were still very present. And I was very, very reserved going into Bachelor Winter Games. And of course, I can't talk too much about what happens at Winter Games. But it was a great experience. And again, being able to spend a lot of time with my friends that I grew very close with, Ben, Ashley, Eric, Josiah. I met a lot of new friends and all that kind of stuff there. So I'm excited for you guys to be able to watch it. It was quite an experience. I would say it was very different than Bachelor in Paradise for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to... There was a sport component to it, so it was nice to kind of have a bit of structure throughout the week.
What sports are we talking about here?
Well, I can't give all the
you can't say any sports that you do on this thing. I don't think that's why people are tuning in.
I guess you saw some in the preview. You saw some like downhill skiing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Which I was surprised by too.
Like
wow.
Slalom and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was a GS course they set up.
I will
for
be
us.
Watching for the sport component. I want you to know.
You know, I will say I was a little bit bummed that it was. What was fun about it was that the producers really didn't have any idea what they were doing either. So, you know, you're going into the show for the very first time, not really knowing what to expect, but typically they kind of know what to expect. But in this case, no one knew what to expect. So they were making stuff up on the fly. They were like just trying to figure things out and run with it as things kind of progressed. And they were pretty vocal and open about that. They were like, yeah, we're not 100% sure what we should be doing, but we have an idea of where we want this to go. And it was fun to kind of be able to like be part of that with them.
Yeah.
Sports were a large part of it. I would say there was maybe like four or five sport competitions.
You did all of them, or how did that work?
Well, again, I'm scared to share too much information.
But I just feel like you could fall and break your leg downhill skiing.
Well, we definitely signed waivers before we got there.
Were there injuries? Can you tell me that? Mm. Anybody get injured?
Yeah, actually, in the very first competition, first day, I think someone rolled their ankle really, really badly.
Don't miss the first episode of Bachelor Winter Games to find out.
February 13th. 7 p.m. I don't know exactly when it is, but
I'm guessing it's 8-7 central, yeah. Probably.
No, but it was a lot of fun, and I think from what I learned from Paradise going into that experience with Winter Games was I didn't want to jump into anything too fast, and I really wanted to take my time and assess kind of everything and you know work slowly, because what I've done in the past is dive into a relationship very, very quickly, and for better or for worse, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a bad thing. It can be a good thing so many times in so many ways, but I just wanted to be very patient this time going mm-hmm. into it, and I think that I did a good job of that. Again, I can't really speak too much to
I think your patience paid off, and I think you know why I think that?
Why?
And I think a lot of listeners picked up on it, as you said that when you went there you were single at the time, and that's an interesting way to phrase it.
Oh shoot.
So now I'm just throwing it out there that I think a lot of people picked up on that phrase.
Well, I think you're the only person that picked up on that, but that's very observant of you. Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch back. I don't know.
I can't wait either.
It's gonna be fun.
Well, it's fun for us because now we know you. We know you. We know Ben. We know Ashley. Like, this is gonna be really fun to watch.
I can definitely say that although I hate the name of this podcast, it has helped out quite a bit with communication, with relaying feelings and emotions and all that kind of stuff. And it's nice to get a constant woman's perspective, like through the listeners, through calls and emails and all that kind of stuff. It helps shed a lot more light onto what I guess is required for me in a relationship, both early stages, middle stages, whatever stage you're in. It's nice to be able to kind of experience all that.
I think you're thinking about this all wrong. I think that's great that you've learned so much. But if you keep it help, I suck at dating, and you meet somebody and she thinks, oh, he sucks at dating, you're lowering the bar for yourself. So then when you send her a nice text thinking about you, she's like, oh, he doesn't suck at dating after all. You send her flowers. Wow, I expected nothing from this guy.
I don't know if I necessarily strive to set the bar low for myself, though.
You can't go wrong setting the bar low. I've made a career out of it.
Under promise, over deliver. I can get behind that, I suppose.
Yes, exactly.
But, no, I just... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what this turns into. I'm still gonna be lobbying for Help Dating Sucks with Dean Ungler. Maybe you know, fast forward 2 or 3 months, I have a girlfriend at the time. Maybe if she wants to be a co-host, we'll see what happens.
Oh,
I'm just saying, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but you never know what could happen in 2 or 3 months.
Possibilities are endless.
Exactly, especially in 2018.
But while we're still in the single mode, we have a love expert on today.
Yes, ringing the new year, 2018. We have a very special guest by the name of Diane Valentine. She is a relationship guru, a wedding planner, and an author of the book called Going the Distance for Love, 22 Tips on Handling Your Issues and Finding Love Wherever It May Be. She's also from the show To Roam for Love, which airs on Bravo every Sunday night starting at 9, 8 central.
Why don't you tell us about ThredUp and then we'll get her in here.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys have heard about this great new website called ThredUp. So basically... I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I love shopping at thrift stores and discount stores for clothing because that's often where you find the best deals and the most unique looking clothes. I get a lot of people, I guess, interested in my clothes, not necessarily admiring it, but interested in where I get them and why I'm wearing what I'm wearing.
I can vouch for that.
And a lot of them come from thrift stores. And what ThredUp is basically an online thrift store. So you don't have to go into, you know, a local thrift store and kind of search around and dig through endless pile after pile to find something that you like. You can just kind of go online, browse through the website, pick out anything that you want. You're typically going to get like 90% off the retail price. You could find like a $500 coat for $50 on ThredUp. Every item on the site goes through a 12-point quality inspection process, ensuring that the items are like new condition. So, you know, maybe someone bought a Louis Vuitton bag, used it a couple times, decided they didn't want it anymore. That's how ThredUp gets it. It's all lightly used, but very, very good quality clothes, bags, jackets, whatever it is. So show your wallet who's boss and don't wait another minute. Go to ThredUp.com/Dean. And on top of all the savings of shopping at a discount store, you're going to get an extra 40% off if you go to the ThredUp.com/Dean website. So ThredUp.com/DEAN. For an extra 40% off. And again, those savings are already going to be huge. And
Brand
name stuff.
From Gap to Gucci.
From Gap to Gucci, you're going to get everything you want.
And there's no A in thread. Remember that. THRED, ThredUp.com.
ThredUp. I wonder what the ThredUp is a play on. So ThredUp.com/Dean, ThredUp. That's no A in the word thread. I'll spell it again for you. THREDUP.com/Dean. I actually, for the holidays, because I'm such a great guy, I don't know if you guys knew this about me, but I'm super nice. I bought a Coach sweater for the producer Amy in studio here. Oh. I bought denim jackets for Mark's wife Amy and Easton's wife Allison.
Thank you,
thank
Dean.
You so much, Dean.
You know, I'm always thinking about you guys. You know, when I'm not around.
You know what you don't suck at? Friendship.
That's what I'm here for. And honestly, that's all I strive for. I just want to be a good friend.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
I hope that Allison and Amy like them. And Amy, I hope you like your new sweater that I got for you. You guys are great. And I'll promise, every single time we get a holiday coming around, I'll order something off ThredUp for them.
I'd much rather get a gift for my wife than for myself. So that's very nice. Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. All right. So like I said, joining us in studio is Diane Valentine, author, wedding planner, relationship guru. Diane, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming into the studio. So like I said, Diane is from the show To Roam for Love on Bravo Sunday nights at 9, 8 central.
Yes.
But you're also an author of the book called Going the Distance for Love, 22 Tips on Handling Your Issues and Finding Love Wherever It May Be.
Yes.
So, Diane, can you tell us a little bit more about what kind of relationships you specialize in? Because it is a special kind of relationship, right?
Well, I don't know if it's a special kind of relationship, but I do work with women that are having trouble or struggling to find love in the U.S. and are interested in dating internationally, particularly in Europe. And I'm kind of, Italy is my specialty.
So how did this all come about? How did you become an international relationship expert?
Twofold. So I have a long-standing love affair with Italy. I discovered the country maybe 20, 25 years ago in my early 20s, And I started going there frequently. And 8 years ago, I got married there in Lake Como, me and my husband. So I've probably been, you know, 20, 30 times.
Nice.
But then my work in the wedding space and working my entire career with women that are in love and falling in love and falling out of love and making good decisions and sometimes making bad decisions has taught me a thing or two, I think, about relationships and love. And so about 5 years ago, I started a new company in which I started taking women to date internationally, particularly in Italy, that were struggling to find love.
Gotcha. And so if I understand the show correctly, what you do is you take five women each episode to Italy to explore international relationships. Is that kind of
yes.
the premise
well,
of it?
Well, what it is, it's five black women specifically, and we take them to Italy. They stay together. They live together in a villa for 5 weeks, and they date Italian men.
Okay.
So the show follows their journey over those 5 weeks in Italy, in Rome.
And is there any common denominator of these five women besides they're single and they're looking for love, I guess?
Yeah. They're all black.
Okay.
So I think in particular, this show revolves around the struggles that black women have with dating in the U.S. And there's a lot of negative stereotypes that are tied to black women. Mm-hmm. And like, we are too bossy and we're too aggressive and we're too driven and we're too loud and all of those things. Well, you take those same women and you put them in Italy, and those characteristics are incredibly attractive to Italian men. So suddenly we're no longer like, oh, not her again. Suddenly we're like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Which is great.
Yes.
I mean, and it is funny, and it's very interesting to think that you could have two women of different color that are acting exactly the same, and you'll have different adjectives to describe them.
Exactly. And I think we see that more and more now. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, black is popular. Mm-hmm. Things about us are popular. Big booties are now very popular. We've been born with, right? And you see that now. And I get it, because there's still culturally some major differences. But I think that if you looked at the sheer numbers, right? If you look at the number of available black women in the U.S. and available black men in the U.S., there's a disproportionate there. So the odds are not in our favor.
So why is that, though? So you're saying there's more single black women than there are more single black men?
Yes.
Okay.
That is true. Well, there's a number of reasons why, starting with, you know, the mass incarceration of black men to the number of educated black men. And then you look at the number of black men that are choosing to date and marry and start families with women that are not black. Right. So I'm all for, like, hey, love who you love. When love finds you, love doesn't see color. Right. But traditionally, black women are just so incredibly loyal, culturally very, very loyal. And so I meet women all the time that are like, oh, no, Diane, I am holding out. I am going to find me my black man. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And I'm like, well, just look at the numbers, because he ain't really coming.
Well, so let me ask you then, what
he ain't coming for you, boo.
What makes a black man so much more willing and ready to date outside of the race than a black woman?
You know, that's an interesting question, and I don't have the answers. I don't know if it's that the desire to assimilate and to fit in a world and in a country where black men have such a challenging relationship with the U.S. You know, just being in the U.S., there's a struggle of being a black man here, and so I think that they, in all fairness, they're just trying to find their way. Like, how am I going to be most accepted, you know, in this U.S.?
Yeah.
And maybe they see that acceptance as having, you know, an interracial wife or an interracial marriage, that somehow that might give them one up.
That's interesting, and I guess it's this podcast has kind of turned a little bit into a conversation of race, which is perfectly fine. It's just something we've never really talked about before. But so, coming from my experience, I grew up in Colorado, which is a predominantly white state for whatever reason, especially up in the mountains in Aspen. I think there was one person of color in my entire high school that I went to high school with. College, it was a little bit more of the same, a little bit more exposure. But now, obviously, out in L.A., it's a healthy mixture of everyone.
Right.
And so now my roommate and one of my best friends for the past 2 or 3 years is a black man. And it's interesting to be able to, I guess, dive into his experiences that he's had as a black man growing up in the U.S. specifically, because it's things that I've never had to experience personally.
Yeah.
Like, when he talks about getting pulled over and how he gets like terrified right away, and I'm like, well, you're getting pulled over. He's like, yeah, but it's way
you
different for people like me versus people like you. And that's the thing. I never really understood it to the effect that I do now, and I still obviously will never fully understand it. I'm learning every single day.
Right.
But that's very interesting. Okay, so.
And I think it's really healthy. I think the problem in this country is that we don't talk about race.
Yeah.
We want to pretend like we're all the same and we're all treated equal.
Yeah.
And we're not. But it doesn't get better because we don't talk about it.
Right. And that's the funny thing, too. It took me a little bit of time to be comfortable with asking me questions that I wasn't sure if I was allowed to be asking him or not, you know?
Right.
But all it's coming from is a point of just wanting to be more informed and more educated, which is great.
Yes.
So, okay, so back to the love component of the show, because sorry to get off topic. So it's great to have you in studio today because, you know, we're coming out, or I guess I'm specifically coming off this Bachelor Winter Games show where they bring a lot of U.S. and international contestants together.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you find that's most important or best suited for people that are living maybe in different countries than one another to really make a relationship work if that's really what they want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. I think the greatest thing that I've noticed about dating people of other cultures is that it really teaches us tolerance, and it teaches us how to be more accepting of people that just are not necessarily like us. You know, love, as I said before, it's one of those things, you know, it meets you where it's at. It knocks you off your feet when you find it, right? And you don't see color, you don't see culture, right? But there are distinctive cultural differences. You know, there's similarities, but there's also differences. And I think the more that people start dating more and more internationally is that it ultimately makes the world a better place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If everything kind of comes together as a bigger melting pot, I don't see what's...
Yes.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
That is all good for all of us.
So with that being said, say that you're maybe like just starting a relationship. How do you encourage a long-distance relationship to kind of be able to build the momentum to be able to continue kind of progressing towards that ultimate thing, mm-hmm. which is love?
Which is love,
yeah. If you don't know right away, I guess is my question. Because sometimes you know right away, and in Mark's case or Easton's case. I guess Easton was friends with his now wife for a while, so maybe not right away, but... Sometimes it takes a little bit of momentum for people to get to that point, right?
Yes.
So how do you kind of encourage people to keep that spark ignited for long enough time to make sure that long-distance relationship is going to work?
Well, I think communication is key.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many ways to be in touch now when you're dating. I mean, you know, when I was dating, we didn't have FaceTime and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of these ways to kind of stay connected to the people that you are interested in. So communication... face-to-face, even if it's iPhone-to-iPhone, mm-hmm. communication certainly is great. And then I tell people, like, just think about traveling today versus, you don't look that old, but maybe traveling 20 years ago. It's so easy now, right? Plane tickets are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could hop on a plane to Rome, you know, on a good day, on a great deal for $500 round trip. That is not a lot of money to go for love.
And it's only going to get cheaper, too,
we think. It's only going to get cheaper. So the distance is shrinking, you know, with this digital world that we live in. The world is getting smaller. And it's great because people are now not looking at long-distance relationships the way they did maybe, you know, like I say, 20 years ago.
Right. So long-distance relationships aside, just relationships in general, what is some advice that you could give our listeners to help their relationships at whatever stage they're in? And what's great about you is you help everyone at every certain stage that they're in,
yes.
from meeting people to kind of keeping those relationships to getting married and so on and so forth. So what's maybe like a good word of advice you could have for our listeners who kind of span all of those ranges as well?
Sure. Let's talk about dating tips.
Okay, love this. Because
that is really, really important.
This is going to get good, okay.
Okay, my number one tip for the new year is burn the checklist. Ladies, burn the checklist. We put such unrealistic expectations on the men that we're looking for. They now have to make 8 figures. They have to be, you know, have 3 degrees. They cannot have any children. They must love their mother. They must love the Lord. They must have a credit score of 800. And it is completely impossible. So I always tell women, like, make sure that the checklist that you've created, that you actually can live up to that one as well.
Okay. That's one.
Number two, high standards lead to big wins.
Okay.
People should not fall in lust and have sex too soon. It most cases it ends up bad, right?
Right.
So my thing is, like, if you meet someone and you're automatically in love, oh my God, Diane, he is the one. I had to sleep with him. I knew it was going to work. And then 30 days later, you find out maybe he's a bit of a jerk. Well, don't be mad at me because you gave up the goodies too soon.
Yeah.
So
on that note, can we talk about that for a second, expand upon
yes.
it? For the listeners, how soon do you think is too soon? I mean, obviously, it's kind of a case-by-case basis, but
yes.
what's kind of your general rule of thumb for that?
You know, I like to think 2 to 3 months is a good rule.
Okay.
You know, because on a first date, on a first few dates, you don't even know who you've met. Because you are dating their persona.
Right.
And they're dating yours as well.
Right.
And you need time. And nothing eradicates time, right? Everyone wants to be in love. I get it. But everyone wants to be in love right now in a microwave society. And particularly in, you know, in Hollywood, we've seen a lot of love affairs come real quick and go real quick,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
You know? So I think it's just, you know, pace yourself. 2 to 3 months is a good time. 1 week and first date, absolutely not.
Okay, absolutely not.
Absolutely
regardless
not.
Of chemistry and all.
Regardless.
Okay.
Regardless. Because if you have chemistry on the first date, you're going to have it on the 10th date, right?
I agree. And sometimes it is nice to know that the good things are worth waiting for. And if
for
you feel
sure.
that chemistry to start, play it, or I guess feel it out for a little bit longer and
absolutely.
See exactly what leads to it.
So when you say high standards, you're referring to your own
absolutely.
High standards. Because... what was the high standard lead to what?
Big wins.
Big wins.
Big wins.
Yes.
But before that, you said get rid of the checklist, but have high standards.
Yes.
So that could be a dichotomy.
It can. I don't think checklists are bad.
Okay.
I think that a lot of checklists are unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think you should have, yes, absolutely have high standards. But what are your top five most important things? It should not be whether or not he or her is handsome.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be attracted to somebody that you are dating, but you fall in love with the heart and soul of someone. You don't fall in love with how beautiful they are because beauty fades. You can only get so much plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to, if you really want to be in love, you want to be in love with somebody who's going to go the distance with you.
Right.
And that speaks to your second point, too, I think, because you can fall in love with the way someone looks in an instant, but it takes a little bit more time to fall in love with someone's soul and their heart.
Yes. And isn't that what we ultimately want? Don't we all want happily ever after, not happily for right
for
now?
For right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So what's number three?
Number three, social media plus dating equals potential disasters.
Oof. Wait, this is big for me because social media is a big part of my life. So let's talk about this. So social media plus dating equals bad disasters.
Potential bad
potential disasters.
Okay. Yes, because people have a tendency to overshare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I tend to speak from a perspective of women, right? But so oftentimes women meet a guy, they start dating, they start posting, they start sharing a lot of information really quickly, and then a few weeks later, they realize that there's 8 other girls also posting and sharing about the same guy.
Huh.
Now, she might be angry at that point, but from his perspective, he's like, we just went on a few dates.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not in this committed relationship. Like, what are you thinking?
So you're saying don't share much information about the relationship, but continue sharing as much as you want to about yourself sort of thing?
Yeah, I think relationships, I think, should be kept private.
Okay.
Right? And I like to say, it's nothing wrong with the, you know, man crush Monday, women crush Wednesday. We've all done it before. But take a little advice from Beyonce. She shares a lot of photos, and she never gives commentary.
In regard to what? In
her life.
Okay.
Her relationship, right? For, you know, she posts stuff about her and Jay-Z, but there's no commentary. So you don't know if they're fighting. You don't know if they're in a great place. You don't know if lemonade is about to drop. Like, you don't know anything because she's so brilliant at it.
Okay.
And another thing is that oftentimes when people break up, right, then they will get on social media and drop, you know, like a subliminal shady message,
yep.
right? And then they do that. But then what happens if the guy claps back? Now you're embarrassed, right? And now you're like, oh, my God, so what do I do? Do I post another one? You know what I mean? Look at, for example, Ciara and Future.
Okay.
Right? They broke up. It was a nasty breakup. We all knew that because it was very public. But then she did a song, and then he did a song, and it was like, oh, my. And then they were in court. It was like I was feeling for her. Like, somebody take her phone. Just stop.
I will say that must be the extreme example because most people aren't able to come out with songs about their
true,
former.
True.
But I do see a lot of that, and I've heard a lot of that from friends of mine. Like, they'll have, like, a new Taylor Swift album drop, and they're like, oh, I'm going to be subtweeting all those things that she's saying about my ex. And I'm like, okay, I guess if that's what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
But it is definitely interesting when you think about the social component of, you know, especially when people jump into a relationship quickly and they're posting
yes.
a lot of pictures of them and their significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens if it falls apart for one reason or another? Then I don't want to say like public shame or anything like that, but it kind
yeah.
of adds a lot more pressure to the relationship because of that.
It does.
But how is that? Is it kind of the same thing over in Italy for the show? Do you notice social media having as big of a presence out there as it is over here?
It doesn't have as big of a presence mm-hmm. out here, but it's growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And apps like Tinder are incredibly popular in Italy.
Do you suggest using those apps for any of the women that you work with?
For sure. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Right? I think that, again, technology is on our side now. So women have, and men have, so many more available options. And it gives you a chance to, like, connect with men or connect with women that you might not run into at the grocery store.
Are options good or bad, do you think?
Options are great.
Yeah?
Options are great. Options are great. Because love, again, we want love. Love is not something that usually happens overnight. Mm-hmm. Lust happens overnight, but maybe not love. And so the bigger the pool of your options, the better your odds at finding it.
Well, that can be paralyzing, though, right, Kendall? Like in Dean's situation, Dean was a guy that had a limited amount of options, goes on national television. Suddenly, that pool is really wide. And it can be intimidating, I would think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're talking about like people that slide into the DMs and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. All of a sudden, wherever you go, women are coming up and introducing themselves. Suddenly, there's so many options of women to talk to. I would think it'd be intimidating and paralyzing.
Well, I think that, I agree. It can be, I think, for men that can't handle that kind of attention. And we see that a lot in our city, right? But I think it's nothing wrong with it, right? Because you're figuring out your life. You're figuring out who you want to spend your life with. And it's a big, big, big decision that I don't think people necessarily always enter into it having really clear thoughts about what marriage means.
Do you think sometimes people put an unnecessary amount of pressure on that decision, though? Like, I feel like a lot of times people, and I think we talked about this maybe in our last episode, 2017, is when people think about marriage, like, I have to be married when I'm this age, and I have to have this, like, two kids when I'm this age, and a house when I'm this age. And I think by doing that, you're kind of, like, putting an unfair amount of pressure on yourself and even the person that you're seeing, like your significant other.
Yes, I agree. I agree that people do put a incredible amount of pressure on each other when it comes to wanting to be married. But, you know, in the same token, I feel like you have to really think about this thing, right? Like, it's so easy to get married. It's so easy to get divorced. Mm-hmm. My parents weren't like that. You know, you got married. I'm sure your grandparents' parents probably weren't like that either. You got married and this was it. There was no turning back, right? But now it's just like, well, if it doesn't work, we'll just get a divorce. So I think I would rather people put the pressure on the front end, right? And deal with all of that and deal with, you know, like I like to say, really hard questions. I always tell people that are getting married or getting engaged, if you cannot tolerate and love the three worst qualities about your mate, the three worst qualities, because they are likely never going to change, you should not get married.
So can we ask you some personal questions then?
Sure.
You said you've been married 8 years, you said?
Yes,
years. Does your husband know your three qualities that you hate most about him?
He absolutely does.
And and you're okay with them?
I'm okay with them. I'm okay with them because the sum total of who he was better than his three worst qualities.
Okay, I got you. That makes a lot of sense. And I would assume that he knows yours.
Oh, of course. Oh, of course.
Okay. That's interesting.
Which leads us to the next tip.
Let's hear it.
You cannot rehab a hoe into a husband.
Wait, say that one more time.
You cannot rehab a hoe into a husband.
Okay. Are you saying hole or
hoe? H-O-E.
Okay. No L. Okay.
H-O-E.
Okay.
In the Urban Dictionary.
I got you. Okay, so you cannot rehab a hoe into a husband.
Correct.
Let's expand upon that for a
second. So, for example, if you're dating somebody and you are so infatuated with him, you're so in love, he is the finest thing you have ever seen in your life, but he has a tendency to disappear from time to time, right? He disappears. You can't reach him for a few days. He's like, oh, my phone was out of reach. I called you back. You didn't get it. Like all of these excuses. He's probably a hoe, and that's okay, but you cannot rehab him. So just move on.
Once a hoe, always a hoe.
But look at here. men change when they are ready to change.
Okay.
Well, women can. So then they are rehabable, aren't they?
But it's self-rehab, maybe.
It's different, right? Because that's self-rehab. But a lot of times women love taking on new projects, right? Like, oh, no, he just needs me. I know he didn't care about her. That's why he cheated on her. But he really loves me. And I'm going to be so good to him, he's never going to want anyone else. Uh-uh. That is wrong. Bad thinking on their part.
So what about Cardi B?
Oh, Oh my gosh. I was just talking about this last night on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm too far behind on pop culture. I don't know any of these people.
Cheated on twice
Cardi
by Offset.
Cardi B. Yes.
I don't know if he's still a fiance.
Okay, so for the listeners that are unaware and me who is also unaware, so Cardi B cheated on her?
No. Cardi B is the female.
Okay.
She got cheated on by Offset, her fiance, second time, and her attitude is all guys do it. It happens to everybody.
And they're still together.
Still together.
Her and Offset. Okay. Okay, so what's the take on that then?
Here's my feeling about that, is that if he's not ready to be in a committed relationship, he has every right, but he should just say that, right? And then she has a choice to say, okay, I'm going to hang in here with this guy because I really love him, and maybe, you know, maybe it will grow into something more. But it's the deception that I don't like. It's when somebody is cheating and somebody else is completely in the dark and unaware of it, right? So that's what appears to be the case with Cardi B and Offset. Then you have to think about is, like, what makes a woman really believe that she's not worthy of something better. Like, that's the really deep-seated issue with those two, is that at what point in her life does she start believing that she just wasn't worthy of someone who would be faithful to her, commit his life to her? I mean, they're engaged, right? You would think by this point, by the time you buy the ring and you're engaged, you're kind of ready to settle down. Right. So my heart, it just breaks for her, because I want her to win, just like I want every woman to win. And it's like, what makes you think you have to, like, be really OK with that kind of acceptance? And then to say that everyone cheats. Well, I don't believe everyone cheats. I know plenty of women that I think are in very committed, loving relationships. I think I am. Now, if I wasn't, that's a whole different story. Right. Because it's the deception part. Right. Like, I don't get why men are so deceptive. Just be like, you know what? I really like you. I'm digging you. You my chick and all that. But, you know, I'm not really ready to settle down.
Yeah.
Because now that's empowering. Because now women can say, okay, I respect that. I still want to be with you. Or they have the choice to say, I don't want to be with you, and I think I'm going to try something else.
See, I think I took that approach once upon a time, and it didn't really go so well for me.
Why didn't it go well? Because you lost?
It's not that I lost. It's just that I don't think I was as clear in my communication as you're definitely seemingly telling me to be, or everyone, all the listeners for that matter. But no, I can agree with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think back to your very first point you made. I think communication and honesty are the two most important things. And to who was this guy? Forever One?
Offset.
Offset. If Offset was open and honest with Cardi B, yes. Then there, and she was still comfortable with that, then that would be kind of a non-issue sort of
Absolutely.
Thing. But the deceit is really where the underlying issue is.
It's her life. She has the right to decide whatever kind of relationship
she
wants
true.
To be in.
Well, that's true. We shouldn't shame people for staying with cheaters.
No, we shouldn't.
Male or female.
No. However, a few weeks ago, she was on stage at a concert and quoted Beyonce and said, if he do that shit again, he gonna lose his wife.
Beyonce.
Can I say shit?
You can. Say it as many times as you want. We'll just bleep it out. I think.
What would Beyonce do? It all comes back to that,
doesn't
it?
It all comes back to Beyonce.
Queen B.
Follow her lead. She said nothing and created a whole album.
Could I read you an email? Just because she sent it to Dean and I don't know what advice to give her.
Okay.
So since you're here, I want to take advantage of that. And Dean, I don't know if you've read this one or not, but it's from Belle. I'm 19 years old. I've never had a boyfriend, which has never felt like a problem, and still I don't deem it a big problem, but my problem, in quotes, is that I'm always a guy's best friend, even when I have feelings for him. One of my good guy friends has even called me one of the guys. I know it's a good start being there for him as a friend and maybe progress out of the friend zone, but I never feel like I ever do get out of the friend zone, and if I even really know how to. I don't know, but I appreciate any advice anyone in the studio has. That's Belle.
Hey, Belle.
That's a tough one, I think, because I've known girls like this that are the, you don't want to say tomboy. I don't think that's a very sensitive phrase nowadays. But
one of the guys.
One of the guys. Yeah. Right. They play video games. They watch football with you. They belch. They do whatever. And they fit right in. And the guys see them as one of the guys. And they don't. It's hard to get out of that. It's hard to escape that.
I do understand that being a dilemma. But I would just say stop being a guy's best girlfriend. Just stop. Being that. There's nothing wrong with having guy friends for sure, but if you want to find yourself in a great relationship, then stop being a female version of all of his best friends. don't clean up after him. Don't go over his house and, you know, bring Taco Bell and veg out Netflix and chill. Like, don't do those things if you don't want to be looked at in that way. Right? Show up and be the cutest girl in the room. Right? Show up at the club and be like, aren't you going to buy me a drink? I really would like one.
That does kind of set the precedent for future romance if there is going to be any.
Yeah, like it does. And I think that sometimes we can be like a guy's best friend. And in her case, it backfires.
Right. I think she needs to escape this group of guys too. She needs to go to fresh.
She needs new friends.
Clean slate.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting that you, I'm glad you asked that question with Diane here, because I was going to have a completely different response.
Oh, what would you
I was going to say, just speaking from experience, that I have a friend, or I've had friends, and one specifically here in Los Angeles that comes to mind, who is very ingrained in our friend group, and she is kind of like one of the guys. And there was a point, I think, like a couple years ago, where she expressed her interest in me specifically. And what I guess the advice that I was going to give to Belle is express your interest, but maybe do it in a more subtle way, where you go to a bar and be like, oh, are you going to buy me a drink? Are you going to take me out to dinner? Whatever it is. But this girl specifically came out and said, hey, I like you. I have a crush on you. I want to see where that could lead romantically. And in my situation, I said, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested. But there was no, it didn't harm the friendship at all. And so I was going to say to Belle, if you do kind of state it, whether it's very directly or indirectly, that you want to pursue something romantically, then I don't think you should have to worry about the friendship being hurt at all, if that's what she wants to maintain after the fact.
I think that's good advice, too.
Yeah.
No, I do think that that's good advice, too, because sometimes there's nothing wrong with a woman saying what she wants.
Right.
Right? But the bigger issue is that the way she's positioning herself amongst men in her life, and that has to change.
Okay. I agree. No, I think that's a refreshing perspective, too. Yeah. All right. So thank you so much for coming into studio, Diane.
Thank you.
You guys obviously can't see her, but she's wearing a black beanie with the word boss plastered across the front. And I think that perfectly exemplifies her and her personality and who she is. Again, she's on the show To Roam for Love on Bravo Sunday nights at 9, 8 Central. She is the author of the book Going the Distance for Love, 22 Tips on Handling Your Issues and Finding Love Wherever It May Be. Dan, do you want to plug anything else before we move on to the next thing?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Diane Valentine.
Perfect. That's Diane, D-I-A-N-N, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you
thank
so much
you.
For coming in the studio.
Thank
it's always
you.
Great to have a new perspective on everything, because I still suck at dating, but you clearly have it figured out. Well, yeah, thanks again. We hope
thank
to have you back
you.
Soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. While Dan was leaving, we were fortunate enough to have Becca and Tanya Rad walk into studio today.
Yay! Yes, fortunate.
Thank you guys so much for just dropping in and surprising me with a visit. I know you're here just for me.
I've always wanted to be on your show.
Is this the first time?
I've just never been early enough or on time enough to make it happen.
I feel like I usually come in the studio after you. So I'm
sometimes
always...
you're here before, but we don't see each
and
other.
And then Tanya will stay because she's my only true friend, and you like bail and go home and watch
well,
Grey's Anatomy.
To be fair, I'm always here. So.
That's fair.
Yeah, and Tanya's a much better friend than me in general. So.
I've noticed because I'm trying to make plans with you this week, and you're completely
I know,
ignoring
because
me.
Because he wants to, I suggested a hike, and then he suggested skydiving, and then it turned into hike to skydive. Bungee jumping.
Oh.
And it just sounds like a lot now.
Bungee jumping.
Have you guys ever heard of this Bridge to Nowhere hike? So it's Bridge to Nowhere. You like hike. It's like an 8-mile hike, and then you bungee jump off
this
bridge.
8 miles, you guys.
Oh, my God.
I can barely hike to, like, up my stairs in my apartment.
Becca's, we went from, like, talking, like, via text, and her responses were, like, within 30 seconds, like, where should we go hiking? Let's do this. Let's do this. And I was like, let's go bungee jumping. And then it was, like, one text every 6 hours, one text every 13 hours.
Because it's different. I just wanted to go on, like, a casual, like, maybe mile-long hike, and then it turned into, I didn't even know it was 8 miles. Definitely not happening unless someone can helicopter me to the location.
And bungee jumping's an aggressive activity.
I know, off a bridge.
It just seemed like a fun thing to do with my sis.
I'd rather do skydiving with my bro.
Well, all right, we're still going to hike later this week, though.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay, well, so we have some listener emails that I think you guys would be great to jump in on and help out with, because your perspectives are so refreshing.
Let's start with Josette. This is more for a guy perspective, but I think we can all jump in on
perfect.
This. 2 weeks ago, a guy that all my friends think likes me, he's 22 and a junior in college just like me, asked me to go to a light show with him. What is that? What's a light show?
Wait, what's
fireworks?
A light show?
Like a laser show? Or like,
I'm thinking
like
lasers.
Like Disneyland. You know,
I was thinking
like
lasers.
The water lights show?
That sounds
okay,
cool.
No, I don't think that's what it was, Tanya.
Maybe like a lantern lighting where they light the lanterns.
Oh, that's
there's
romantic.
So many possibilities
I would hope it's
here.
That.
Anyway, he messaged me saying his older sister and a guy were going, and he didn't want to be a third wheel. Would you like to come? I'm semi-interested in this guy. He's tall, smart, and nice. Check, check, check. He met me in the lobby of my dorm. He opened the door for his car and such. It was very date-like. The big but was that he didn't make a move. Didn't even reach for my hand. Josette is wondering, was this a date?
Ooh.
Yes, this was a date.
I agree. Yes, 100% it
no
was
doubt.
A date.
And I respect this guy that she went on a date with for not making the move, because that's very much something that I would do, I think.
Yes, he's thinking of it as a chivalrous thing to not push things too fast, even though some girls don't like that.
Yes.
Guys, as we said on the show many times and on your show many times, guys are wusses. They're very afraid of rejection. They go to hold your hand, you pull it away. Oh, it's going to be a long night. Mm-hmm. They go to kiss you. Oh, it's embarrassing. Yeah.
But not only that, I can empathize with his ability to be not non-presumptuous, I guess. Like, he doesn't want to just presume that Chaussette wants to hold his hand or kiss him at the end of the night. He's trying to be respectful and give her space if she wants it, and maybe something can come about later. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I feel like your way of dating is not so much that. It's more you like for the girl to make the first move.
Oh, I can't with you. I
feel like we've talked about this several times. You like for the girl.
It's not even about making the first move. It's about being comfortable with each other to be on the same level as that. And I think that that's what this guy is doing. Again, we don't have enough specifics about it, but it sounds like he's like playing it slowly. And I don't think you can do anything but respect that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But I think if he took the time to ask you to go with the sister and he didn't want to be the third wheel, that was basically him saying, I want to go on a date with you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes,
I think
it
so,
is.
Yeah.
It's a wuss way of doing it, but yes, it is.
Well, come on. Okay.
His one of his guy friends, if he was just like, I don't want to. Like...
Well, let me tell you what it is, because I looked at her original email before we kind of cut it down, and it's called The Trail of Lights, and I looked it up. It's in Austin, and it's a Christmas light walk. You walk through a bunch of beautiful Christmas lights.
Mm.
100% date.
Yeah, did not want to invite a guy friend to that.
I think that would have been a great opportunity to hold a hand.
Yeah.
True.
I feel bad that they didn't. But we also have to keep in mind that he's 22 and she's 20.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're just a little young and uncertain.
He had butterflies.
Yeah.
He was nervous. I think it's sweet. It's all good. The question is, where does she go from here?
She lets him plan another date for them.
I was going to say, I hope that she let him know that she had a good time and like really enjoyed it. And then gives him the confidence. If she did. Which it sounds like she did.
Sounds like she did.
Gives him the confidence to make a move for the second date and maybe get intimate with the hand-holding.
Because she could... she could say to him, hey, that was great. Thank you so much. Next time, I'll plan something for us to do. Like, couldn't she like kind of take some initiative
Tanya's
here?
Tanya's so opposed.
No.
Yeah, I think maybe third or fourth. Like, once he's made some sort of move to let her know that he is definitely interested, then maybe she could do something. But I think until he like for sure lets her know.
So there's nothing she can do? She just has to wait for him to do the next thing?
Yeah.
But I think she, in like talking and if they're, it sounds like they're, are they friends? I can't tell if they hang out more than just like, if they hang out on a regular basis with multiple friends, if he, you know.
I think to your point, she should express her gratitude for being taken on that date.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then he should be the one that takes the initiative to take them on a second date. And preferably this time, just them two.
Let's pretend. Okay.
Hey, Josette, I had a great time at the light show with you the other night. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun. We should definitely hang out again.
Oh my God, it was so cold, but I just, you know, I really want to hang out with you again. Do you want to go see a movie with me maybe?
Yeah, I'd love to see a movie with you. Do you like popcorn?
I really want to see, what do I want to see? I really want to see the new Star Wars movie. Do you like Star Wars?
We'll talk about what movie we see.
That was the most awkward.
I'm gonna, yeah.
Request to
What's
go on
What's that Hugh Jackman thing? They should go see that, the musical with Hugh Jackman.
Oh, The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah,
I heard that's really good, actually.
Yeah,
and if he does ask her out again, is it incredibly wrong that she might grab his hand?
No.
Would that be okay? Mm-hmm. I feel like that'd be okay.
Yeah, maybe because he like initiated a second date. He's let her know he's interested. Maybe you just ease them next to each other. See who makes the move there.
Yeah, that's true. You can position your hand to be held. That's true.
Yeah.
Just put them right next to each other.
And maybe she'll just put her hand on top of his hand.
Right. Like there's this. A way to do it by letting and let him know it's okay to do it.
Ready, break.
Yeah. Yes. Like a bro and sis, you know, like this.
She goes in for the handhold and he gets a fist bump.
You two are. Okay.
I know.
All right. Bianca. Hi, Dean, and everyone else that might be in studio.
Oh, look at this.
What are the chances?
I'm Bianca. I'm 25 years old. I've had a couple of relationships in the last few years, but nothing that's lasted too long. The guy I was dating recently ended things with me over a text. We've both been through really tough heartbreaks before and promised we wouldn't do that to each other. Long story short, the breakup text said he wasn't over being hurt in the past and that we may have moved too quickly. Oh. I proceeded to text him, pouring my heart out, saying how I would have supported him in all his dreams and reminding him all the things he said to me first. Like that he was falling in love with me, that he wanted to meet my parents, saying that he wanted me to meet his parents. This was 2 days before the breakup. My question is, what could have changed in 2 days? After pouring my heart out to him in a long text, he never texted me back. I feel like anyone with a heart, especially one who said so many amazing things to you like he did, would reply. Why do you think he wouldn't reply? Sorry for this being so long. Help, I suck at dating, she says. See, it's catching on, that phrase. It's sweeping the nation.
Help, dating sucks.
I can relate to this. This happened to me.
Yeah.
In my triple, I talked about my triple ghost.
You did.
In the triple ghost, when I was ghosted by three consecutive girlfriends, one of them was like this, said all these wonderful things. Oh, let's do this together. Let's make all these plans. I wasn't initiating the plans. She was initiating the plans. And out of the blue, she was gone.
And this was the one that got back with her ex-boyfriend or something,
no,
right?
No, that was Darby. That was different. I'm thinking of Anne. Anne was very all in, and then suddenly she was gone in 2 days, and I don't know. I never talked to her. No, right. We never spoke again except to exchange some CDs that we had left at each other's apartments. This was the 90s.
And then you guys were trying to get coffee or something, and then she ghosted you again.
That
right?
was also Darby.
Oh, Darby.
Oh, Darby.
Darby.
Was awful. Anyway, so I think my only thought on this, and I can't wait to hear what all of you have to say, is did he meet somebody? Did he find somebody else?
That's what it
because
sounds like.
Why is it so night and day with him?
I'm leaning towards all the things he said were lies, like all the nice things. I think he was just saying it to get initial. It sucks, but I really think that's what happened. I think he liked saying it and liked how it felt, but it didn't actually represent how he felt.
Oh. Or it scared him. It got him too deep, and suddenly he got scared.
Could be the case. I don't think
this is something that just happens overnight.
It's hard for me to see someone lying about saying those things that are necessary. Like, to what avail? Like, what is he trying to get out of it, though? You know,
some guys get a rise out of that, like saying, like, "Oh my God, I want to take you on all these trips. I want you to meet my parents." Like, just to see that reaction in a woman.
Yeah.
And then he met someone else, and it was just like, "All right, I got to get out of
this." They like the test of making a girl fall for them, and then once they do, then they're out.
Yeah.
That's the
kind of thing. I feel like that's probably very common. I don't think that's even just like a guy thing or a girl thing. I think that's just a human thing. Like, people make that. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying.
The thrill,
like,
of the chase.
The thrill of the chase. Like, you meet someone, you really like them initially. There's like that challenge. You don't know them yet. And then when the words start, you start saying these intimate, deep words, you're like, I got to get out of this. On to the next.
This was fun in theory, but in practice, not the best, maybe.
I think that there might be some traumatic event that might have happened in his life that made him flip the switch.
In those 2 days?
Yes.
You and Mark love these, like, psychological breakdowns of
the situation. No, I'm serious, because this happened to me. It was, literally, I'm reading these text messages. One day, it's, I love you, I'm moving, I can't wait to be together. Like, asking my dad, you know, all these things to, we're done. And it was a very traumatic, there was, like, a family sickness in the family, and I think something, I don't
was
know.
Was this the big breakup?
Yeah.
It was that quick?
That quick.
It was sudden, like, it was like
sudden, like so sudden, to the point where I, like, vomited profusely.
This was a 5-year relationship.
I know. Do we know how long they were texting? No, it says the guy was dating.
So I think that it could be.
I think that's obviously a possibility. I think that's the least of the possibilities.
I don't know
who said it, but I think that the overly majority possibility of this is that he was doing the same thing with another girl, decided he liked the other girl more, and then decided that this girl is no longer going to be part of his roster.
Could be,
if you will.
Or I also like the idea of, I'm falling in love with you, and then she says, oh my gosh, I'm falling with you, I love you. And when he hears that, he's like, oh gosh, oh, what have I done? Oh, this is deeper than I meant to go.
It's really scary when someone, I mean, it really is, like, if you're not on the same page and you know someone has way deeper feelings, you kind of, yeah, it is sad, but it's like life. And I feel like he could have handled it much better and just said, I feel like we're moving really fast and maybe we slow down and figure it out. But I think maybe when he heard it, he either freaked out and was just not mature enough to handle the situation, or he just didn't like her enough, which is hard to hear.
I also think breakup over text is the worst thing ever.
If I could give any advice, don't.
Don't. No post-its, no text messages.
It's a step above ghosting, but not much.
What's okay, so if you're unable to meet person to person for something like that, like say they live in different states or something, do you suggest FaceTiming, phone call?
Yes.
I mean, of course, sure. I think texting is the worst way to do it, of course, but do you think it's still okay to do it over FaceTime or something like that?
This would have been a good question for Diane because she's the long-distance relationship
expert.
That's a
good point.
How do you break up with somebody?
Do you think so? Say you live in California and someone lives in New York, and you're going to break up with them. Do you think it's worth flying to New York to break up with them and then flying back to California?
I think it depending depends on how long the relationship is.
Yes, depending on how long. If you're together for years, you absolutely make the flight.
I'm surprised by Mark right now.
Flying across the country just to break up?
Out of respect for your years and years in a relationship,
it's over.
Oh.
It's over. Mark is a savage. We just found out.
Darby did a number on Mark. Now he's a savage.
Well, what do? You break up as soon as you land, like in the airport, or do you have like a couple? Like, do you go get
coffee,
knowing what's gonna happen?
I don't know.
Schedule a layover.
I don't know. It all so bad. It's like I just after being with someone for so many years and investing your time in life, especially if you thought you were gonna end up with them, to have it end over a phone call seems so depressing.
Yeah.
But I guess the whole thing's sad.
I think it definitely depends on amount of time you guys spent together. But I think the main takeaway from this one is don't break up with someone over text. If not for the fact of how rude it is because you can't see their face when you do it, but also because Bianca has a lot of unanswered questions that she wasn't able to get.
Yes, ignoring her texts.
And if you do it face-to-face over FaceTime, any other way than just texting them, you're able to get those answers and get a little bit more closure. Because now she's holding on to this to the point where she's emailing random podcasts trying to get answers, which we are
Thank you. Devastated for it, and we're grateful for it
in many ways. But
yeah, we're all single. So it's like when you're, you know, like she has so many questions that she's emailing us who don't have a whole lot of sound advice.
But you never really get closure.
Lexi.
True.
Do as we say, not as we do.
Let's empower Lexi, shall we?
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Dean, I could really use some more advice because I'm in a bit of a difficult situation. I've had the biggest crush on my best friend for a while now. Oh. A few months ago, we had an argument, but we sorted things out really quickly, and we're really close again, but I've realized I need to get over him. It's been really difficult because I don't want to lose my friendship with him, but I really don't think anything will happen romantically between us, and that breaks my heart a little bit. We see each other really often. We're really close. We have the same group of friends, so I was wondering if you had any advice on getting over someone. Lexi.
I think that one of the girls should handle this one in terms of getting over them.
I did have my best friend in San Diego. We did literally everything together, and I do think it's hard when you have a guy and a girl best friend relationship. It's hard for one person at some point not to develop feelings. So he told me he had feelings for me. It was awkward for a little bit. We didn't talk for about a month, which was, you know, selfishly, I was like, this sucks. Like, this is my best friend, the person I choose. You know, we do everything together, and like, I have to give him the time to move on past his feelings for me. But then after that time where we didn't talk for a full month, didn't hang out or anything, and then we were friends again, and he was like, you know what, I decided I'd rather have you in my life,
right,
and it'd be a little difficult in that way, but you know, I'd rather have you in my life than not have you at all. So you kind of have to decide, is it worth being around and maybe struggling? I don't know.
I think it's so hard because I think when you have a best friend, I mean, I did have a best friend that was a guy for a really long time in my life, and we never had feelings for either one of us, neither had feelings for each other. But okay. I do think it's tricky because if you have someone that is your guy best friend, like, why wouldn't you date them, you know?
Well, that's what we asked you about him.
But when it's not there, but I'm saying it's hard if she clearly has feelings for her guy best friend. I think it's hard to stay friends with them because you're still going to keep wanting to have those. You're still going to have those feelings.
Yeah. All right. I want her to go find somebody else. I want her to date someone else, which will either make him insanely jealous and realize how much he loves her, or it won't, and she could be done with that.
Totally.
I feel like friendship's a little overrated. I think there's a lot of people out there, and you don't need to be friends with this guy that's just going to torture you because you have these feelings for him that they're never going to be reciprocated. You got to move on and let him move on, and if it's meant to be, it will happen.
Right.
I like 2018 Mark. He's very steadfast. Great.
He's not going to waver. Yeah, strong.
I will say I can't really speak from experience, so I don't really have much information to give out. But I have had girls' best friends. Like when I lived in Denver, I hung out with this girl probably like 4 or 5 times a week, strictly as best friends. And I don't think either of us really had any like love interest in each other. But I think that there's a lot of like benefits to having a girl or guy best friend. you know, like an opposite sex best friend, because you're able to kind of pick their brains within like dating whoever else it is that you're dating. And I think back to Belle, who we talked about earlier. She said that she has a crush on one of the guys in her friend group. I think that she should just come out and tell him how she feels. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then they can go back to being friends like Becca and her friend from San Diego did.
Or they can just move on. Or she can just say like, hey, I need to, you can't be my best friend right now. It's too hard for me.
Right.
Because what if this guy's just being a wolf like that other guy, like this, like the lights walk guy, and he does have feelings? Because guys bottle this stuff up. Guys don't even realize it.
You know what I did? Actually, 2 years ago, I went on like 2 dates with this guy, and he basically just said, like, you know, I'm not in a place to be in a relationship, and like, can we just be friends? And I literally said, no. Every time I go out with you, I like you more and more. So, no, you don't get my friendship if you don't want to date me.
I love that.
And guess what? Keeps trying to text me every like 6 months. Hey, how's it going? I'm like, no, we're not friends. Nope. I have a lot of friends. No.
Is there any chance he's reaching out because he realized what he had with you?
Then he's more than welcome to tell me. But guess
he
what?
He can just ask
no
you out,
right? No one's holding him back.
Yeah, no one's holding him back.
Dean and Becca, are you two that for each other? Could you go to each other about relationship issues and seek the opposite sex's advice?
Yeah, Becca sometimes burns a fire in me with the stuff that she tells me about her. I guess maybe I shouldn't say that. But like, there are moments that you've texted me and you're like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, oh, you son of a... You're bringing that up right now. I can't believe you.
Okay. Wait, what?
And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do know exactly what you're talking about. But we have had conversations about our like past relationships with each other. And we kind of... I'd say I challenge you a little bit more in your thinking, but I feel like
for no benefit though. It's solely like
to overthink and like make each other.
It's solely
miserable.
Like, hey, did you see this picture that got posted? Yeah, sleep on that and wake up and be super pissed off about it.
First of all, that's not what I say. I just bring it up because I'm like, I wonder if Dean had these same thoughts about this photo.
And normally I didn't until she brings it up, and they did continue to eat away at me for weeks and months and to this day.
Well, same. So.
Wait, what photo?
We'll talk about this.
I feel like I'm on the outside of that joke.
It's nice to have someone that can like be in the same situation as you and empathize with you, but it's almost like we like feed each other, like we add gas to the fire sometimes.
Yeah. Like it's not always like beneficial. Sometimes it's the opposite. But
I think more often than not, it's quite the opposite.
But it is, I will say, it's nice to have someone where I can text and be like, hey, like, what do you think about this? Like, I would feel comfortable texting Dean and saying, like, if I guided this, is this normal? Not that I, like, really trust Dean's, like, dating advice, but, you know, from a guy's perspective.
Totally.
Like, a lot of girls, you know, who has, like, a lot of girls that are interested in him and how he would handle a situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
That's good to
have. I don't know if I should be flattered or upset with that last statement.
You have a podcast called I Suck at Dating.
And it's been a topic.
For now.
Yeah, it's been a topic this entire episode.
I can't wait for the sequel title.
It's going to be, what do you think it should be? Because, okay, and to preface it with, I think the title should change. I'm lobbying for a title change of the podcast.
Oh.
What are your suggestions for the new name? Mine was Help Dating Sucks with Dean Ungler. I think that is what I'm pushing for.
Oh, it's like, I thought you were trying to change like the...
No. It's still going to be central around the whole dating.
You should say, Help, I'm going on 4 shows on 2018.
It was only 3, okay?
No, I'm saying 4 this year. Oh. You need to up your game.
No. Let's just hope 3 is a success.
We're asking people to email in to isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com with ideas for what Dean's show should be called.
Yes. Oh, that's fun. I like that.
Hey,
I'll think about it.
What about like we all need help? Help.
That's why Help Dating Sucks. And it's just like, oh, we all suck.
We all suck.
And Becca could be a regular because she sucks the most.
That's not true. She just doesn't do it.
Yeah. It's more like I don't try.
Right. Like omission. What is it?
What?
That's kind of sucking at dating, I think, to not try. Don't you think? To not even be in the game?
No, because I don't feel like I'd be bad at it if I did it.
Why don't you want to try? What's stopping you from trying?
Huh?
What's stopping you from trying?
Just like lazy and my dog.
Yeah. It's really an issue.
So you're fulfilled enough in your life to where you don't even have any like curiosity to seek out.
It seems like so much work.
Yeah.
Going on dates and like having small. Oh my God. I feel like I'm in a relationship with Tanya. Was so needy this last week. I was like, I'm not dating.
My period. Sorry. Too much for the podcast.
No, we appreciate it. Jesus. Honesty is one of the central points that we're finding in all relationships. So
it's true.
Do you guys know about ThreadUp?
No.
Oh, dear.
Oh wait, yeah.
You've heard of Thredup?
Yeah.
What do you know about it?
It's like a, it's almost like a thrift shop online, right?
Oh. Nail it right on the head, Becca. Thredup, for those of you that are not familiar with it, like Becca, Thredup is basically an online thrift store, like a discount store where you can go and shop for your favorite brands and items without having to sort through pile after pile at these, you know, kind of play it again stores, like a Goodwill or whatever it is. I guess we can't name names. But so what you're allowed to do is just jump on the app, jump on the website, and kind of just start scrolling and see what you like. They have brands from like Gap to Gucci. You're going to be spending probably $50 for a $500 item. But if you go to thredup.com/Dean, you'll get an additional 40% off those already incredibly reduced prices. So again, it's thredup.com, thredup.com/DEAN, and you'll get an additional 40% off those already incredible prices. Thredup.com/Dean for 40% off. I promise you won't regret it. If you want to find some unique clothing and save some money, check it out. Thank you so much to my guest today, Diane Valentine. And again, you can check her out on Sunday nights on Bravo at 8, 7 Central on her show, To Roam For Love. Thanks again to Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad for coming in and dropping in and saying hi. And don't forget to listen to their podcast, Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly, and now with Tanya Rad. It's a great podcast. Check it out. Keep the emails coming. It's isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Again, email some of your new podcast name ideas. I think it should be Help Dating Sucks. Becca thinks it should be...
Help Dean.
Okay. Tanya thinks it should be...
Help. We all suck.
Help.
You're so cute.
Oh, thanks, Tanya. Anyways,
I really love you a lot.
Yeah, Tanya was talking about how much she loved you.
I really do.
Oh, you're the sweetest.
Like, I think you're so special.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I think you're special too. I'm actually really curious, maybe not today, but I would love to catch up on your dating life, because last time we talked, you were talking about how you've kind of shifted all of your priorities with the relationship.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but the key ones.
Yes. And what's crazy is I've really kicked it up a notch in 2018.
Okay, we definitely have to have you on at some point then. Okay, so again, that's the first episode of 2018 for Help I Suck at Dating. My name's Dean. Be sure to tune back in next week, because maybe I will suck a little bit less and we'll have your name for the podcast.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.